We're beginning a new series. This is how you should pray. We'll be focusing on the Lord's Prayer, specifically getting to the Lord's Prayer next week. Today we rejoin our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. We left Matthew on Thanksgiving Day after considering Jesus' teaching on giving to others in Matthew 6, 1 through 4. I posted that sermon with the audio and the slides to our Faith Life group in case you would like to review it, because it really sets the foundation for this sermon in a way. In Matthew 6, 1 through 18, Jesus teaches on the public expression of three spiritual practices: giving to others, which we address on Thanksgiving Day. Today and for the next 6 weeks after today, we'll be focusing on prayer. And then the third is fasting. In all three cases, Jesus does not condemn exercising these spiritual practices in public. In fact, in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, Jesus commands that our righteousness be a witness to the public. Let's look at that together. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." So Jesus is saying, you're that light. I have lit you. I have put you on a stand to give light. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, just as you are, just like that lamp, I have set you out. I have put you on a stand in the world, so to speak. I've not put you under a bowl. I've put you on a stand. In that same way, let your light shine before others. God wants other people to see our righteousness. Why? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That they may glorify your Father in heaven. That is the key phrase, because what Jesus does not condemn exercising our righteousness, letting our light shine in public. What he condemns in doing these practices is doing them for the wrong reasons. And in all three cases, giving to others, prayer, and fasting, the wrong reason is doing it for one's own glory and not for the glory of God. Jesus gives us the point of the whole teaching on giving, praying, and fasting in the first verse of chapter 6, which reads, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." In other words, to call attention to yourself for your own glory. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And the whole teaching, if you look at verses 1 through 18, there's this whole contrast between the reward of the Father when you do things for His glory and no reward from the Father when we do things for our own glory. Because prayer is essential to the Christian life, in this series we'll spend 7 weeks allowing Jesus to teach us about prayer through His own prayer, which He gave to be a model for our prayers. If you want or need an intimate relationship with God, this series is for you. If you don't think you want or need an intimate relationship with God, this sermon series is critically important for you, because there is nothing more important for any living person than an intimate relationship with God. I have a number of regrets in my life, but one of the biggest regrets spiritually is that for most of my Christian life, I did not get this. I just did not get what is open to us in an intimate relationship with God through prayer. That is not to say I did not pray. I have always prayed. I have always prayed. But I did not know how to enjoy being in God's presence and just being loved by Him. And in that process, allowing Him to show me how much I love Him. And so, really, I would say it's only since I've become your pastor that that has become a part of my understanding of spiritual life. And it's really beyond words. And if there's anything that I can do for our congregation in the time that the Lord allows me to be your pastor, is I hope that I will help us learn and to experience the deep joy of just being with God. Just being with Him. It is sustenance to our souls. It sustains us when nothing else will. This morning, Renee and I were talking, and I told Renee, I said, if I had to describe how I'm feeling today in my body and in my emotions, I would describe it with one word: shock. I just feel shocked. I feel like the whole world is changing around me so fast. And I wake up every morning longing for a day of normal. And normal never comes. And it is shocking. I feel the shock in my body. I feel the shock in my spirit. One of the things that that shock does is it causes me to run to my Father, who's a great shock absorber, and just rest in His presence, because there is deep peace there that's nowhere else. Our relationship with God begins in prayer. When we tell our Father that we accept His gift of salvation through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins, everything starts with that prayer. We grow in our intimacy with our Heavenly Father by the same means, communing with Him by faith in prayer. Unfortunately, prayer for unbelievers can be a spiritual exercise that has no basis in a relationship to God. We know that people, when they are in trouble, often cry out to the God they do not know. People also pray to false gods. There is only one true God. Anything else you're praying to is a false god. And then today, interestingly enough, people just pray to nothing. Their prayer is just an utterance released into the cosmos as a part of trending spiritual practices today. For believers, prayer can be a practice performed out of duty or crisis with no sense of connection with God to whom we pray. In this series, we'll offer a solution to that problem for unbelievers and believers through developing an intimate relationship with God through Jesus' model of prayer by embracing God as our Heavenly Father, aligning with and desiring God's will to be done on earth, trusting God for what we need today, expressing gratitude for God's grace of forgiving our sins by forgiving those who sin against us, and asking and receiving God's protection from evil, and finally confessing God's authority and power to deliver on all of these requests to the praise of His glory and for our well-being. The point of the entire series is this, that sincere use over time of Jesus' model prayer builds intimacy with God. I hope that as we engage in the practice of Jesus' model prayer, we will experience the joy of an intimate relationship with God, which is our promised reward. This morning, we will focus on Jesus' introduction to His model prayer in Matthew 6, 5 through 8. So this is our scripture for today, and I will read it from the Bible, and Sarah, if you will move the slides for us. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Christians should have a natural desire for intimacy with our Heavenly Father. However, misguided motivations and assumptions concerning prayer can block our intimacy with God. Our scripture this morning helps us overcome a key misguided motivation for praying and a key misguided assumption about prayer. The crucial point of today's message is this: our motivations and assumptions about prayer open or close intimacy with God. Our passage helps us to overcome motivations and assumptions that close off intimacy with God by pointing us to intimacy with our Heavenly Father as the motivation and the reward for prayer. I hope this morning the Holy Spirit will move on every one of us to pursue intimacy with God through prayer. Intimacy with God is our goal and our reward. When we take time to be with God, to have fellowship with Him, our Father will reward us. This is our promise. If you want blessing, This is the way. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Come to God with a sincere heart and just be with Him. Few words are fine. Often no words are even better. Just be with your Heavenly Father. Tune everything else out. Turn all your attention to being in and enjoying His presence. This means that we must learn how to enjoy being alone and silent with God. And that, especially for task-driven and time-driven people like me and most Americans, can be difficult. It's something we learn to do. When we enter into God's presence, we don't strive for a specific emotion or spiritual or intellectual experience or revelation. Sometimes we experience those things and sometimes we don't. When we use words, the words can be quite simple. Have a natural conversation with your Heavenly Father about whatever is on your heart. And over time, we come to cherish just being in the presence of our loving Heavenly Father. In ways that are beyond words, we come to know that He loves us and that we love Him. We grow to desire and to need that time with Him, and we miss it when it's not there. You see, we come to see that the reward of prayer is God Himself. Just being in His presence, God with us, God with me, that is the reward. And if we have in our mind that reward means whatever it is I'm asking for, that is what I get, or I have all these outcomes in my mind, and if I get them, then I've been rewarded. We're going to talk about that mindset later. But that's not it. That is not the kind of reward that prayer gives us. The reward that prayer gives us is God Himself. God with us. And as we move into that relationship, we truly start to see, little bit by little bit, that that is all we need. And then little bit by little bit, it becomes that is all we want. Our passage this morning warns us about misguided motivations and assumptions that close us off from intimacy with God. The first is love of public recognition of our spirituality. This closes off intimacy with God. So here Jesus introduces us to the hypocrites. Interestingly enough, the Greek word for hypocrite, is originated as a term for actors. In other words, people who were pretending to be something they weren't. And it was applied to be to the theater. It was a theatrical term. But by Jesus' day, that term had been brought into everyday usage and was used for a person who was different in public than they were in private. In other words, and Jesus is saying, these people who go on the street corners and arrange to be there at the time of prayer so that they must do their prayers in public and be seen by people, that's a public show that is different from their internal life. They don't really have a prayer life interior with me. They just have this outward appearance. And a place for us to see that, an illustration of that, maybe not necessarily in the spiritual realm, but something that helps us understand the concept in our day and time, is Facebook and social media, where particularly on Facebook, you can build a public persona that's totally different from who you actually are. You know? And what God is just saying, it's got to be a consistency. What Jesus is saying, what you are on the outside should be flowing from who you are on the inside. So there's a consistency. That what people are seeing in public is what they would also see in your home when you are by yourself. And Jesus says, you know, if that's who you are, if you're just doing your prayer so that your spirituality will be seen by other people, that right there, that's your full reward. That's it. You're not getting anything from God. You want to experience intimacy with God as a reward, because you're not doing it for God's glory. You're doing it for your own glory. It's interesting. We don't often think about it, but Jesus was a business person. We assume that in the early part of his adult life, he was running the family business. He was a craftsman running the family carpenter shop. He was a business person. And it's interesting to note that this term, reward in full, is a business term. It means what we would say, to be paid in full. And Jesus knew exactly what he was saying here. He knew what it meant to be paid in full, to have nothing else owed to you. And that's what he's saying. If you're going to be this way, if that's what you want, you're paid in full. God owes you nothing else. It's done. Before we throw rocks at the hypocrites of Jesus' day, Jesus wants us to think deeply about what's motivating our acts of public devotion. Is it for our glory or for the glory of God? God knows the answer to that question, and we know it too. For some of us, maybe we often avoid answering that question precisely because we do know the answer. This is why confession is good for the soul. When we see that we're seeking our own glory rather than the glory of God, we can confess it, correct it, and in our given state, start again. Assuming we can manipulate God closes intimacy with God. And here Jesus introduces us to the pagans. Pagans are persons who do not know and are not in relationship with the true God. Pagans tried to manipulate God by the intensity and length of their prayers by pointing to all that they had done for the deity, and therefore they were due a favorable answer. An image of that might be Elijah with the prophets of Baal. And remember how the prophets of Baal leaped and screamed around the altar, calling on their God to hear and answer. Baal, hear and answer. So don't you see how intense we are? Don't you see? And there was no answer. There was no answer. For he is no God. The person who thinks they can manipulate God through prayer or any other means shows that they do not know God. When we think this, before we throw rocks at the pagans of Jesus' day, Jesus wants us to think deeply about the assumptions about our prayer. Do we assume we can manipulate God by our words we address to him, or the actions that we do in his name, and therefore he owes us something? God knows the answer to that question, and all too often we know it too, and that's why we avoid the answer. This is why confession is good for the soul. When we realize we're seeking to manipulate God to achieve our own will, rather than seeking God's will be done, we can confess it, correct it, and in our forgiven state, start again. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ask him. That's why we are not to pray like the hypocrites or the pagans. Like God knows the hypocrites, our Father knows all about our desire to confirm our self-worth through the praise of others. Our Father knows what we need. Our Father knows that we need to come to him and find our worth in the stability of being a child of God who longs to glorify the Father in his or her life above all things. Like God knows the pagan, our Father knows all about our desire to control outcomes in our lives. Our Father knows what we need. Our Father knows that we need to come to him to find our security in the goodness of his sovereign rule over every aspect of our lives. Being spiritual in public to gain the recognition of others closes the door to intimacy with God. Assuming we can manipulate God to deliver favorable outcomes for us by the way we pray, the words we use, or the deeds we do, closes the door to intimacy with God. However, running to our Heavenly Father to be the source of our self-worth, identity, and purpose in life opens the door to our intimacy with the Heavenly Father. Running to our Heavenly Father to be our security and to support our well-being in every area of our life opens the door to intimacy with our Heavenly Father. So how can we have intimacy with God, our Heavenly Father? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 6, using these words, when you pray. When you pray. There's a couple of things that are implied in that. First thing that is implied is that there is a decision to pray. I decide to pray. That's the first step. We have to make that decision. I will pray. And the next thing that's implied is taking time to pray. I will pray. I will find the time to pray. That is when we pray. When we make the decision and we take the time. And then Jesus says, go into your room and close the door. This is an image that Jesus wants to give us. He's not saying here that every time you pray, you have to be in a private room by yourself. But what he's trying to get across here is find a place to be alone with God. Jesus himself often did that by going out into the wilderness. It wasn't in a room, it was out in the wilderness. But it's also, we have to think of it more than in physical terms. Sometimes, even when we're surrounded by others, we need to find that place, that moment in our life where even though we're just surrounded by people, surrounded by activity, we can find a place within ourselves where we are alone with God. It's good when we can do that physically. Sometimes we just have to be able to do it emotionally. That even in the midst of everything that's going on around me, I can take a deep breath. And in this moment, it's just me and God. You see, we're so blessed that in any moment, we can step into God's presence. And we can learn to, in any moment, shut the door on everything else and just let it be. Even if it's just for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, just me and God. When we do that, we actually experience eternity. When we become comfortable just being in God's presence, time falls away. You can just step in. It doesn't matter how little or how long you're there. Time falls away. And you begin to experience that you are an eternal being communing with the eternal giver and sustainer of your life. And there is nothing more life-giving, more peaceful, more healing than that. So go in your room, close the door, whatever that means to you in the moment, and then pray. Meet with God. Enjoy His presence. Have a natural conversation about anything and everything that's on your heart. You may be saying, well, I just don't know how to have that natural conversation. I want to encourage you, don't worry about that. Because as we explore the Lord's Prayer, Jesus will teach us how to have that conversation. And in the meantime, we can start with something really simple. A really simple prayer, just like this. Father, here I am. I love you. Does anything more really need to be said? Father, here I am. can just let that run through our heart and mind and enjoy being in God's presence with that simple prayer. So next week, we will enjoin Jesus when he says, "This then is how you should pray." And we'll begin with that. Just that simple phrase, almost similar to this: "Our Father, who art in heaven." Father, here I am. I love you. Let us pray. So, Father, here we are, and we love you. We pray that you'll mold and shape our lives during the course of this 7 weeks, so that we are changed. We're changed individually, and we're changed as a family of God, because we're learning how to enjoy your presence more deeply and more sweetly together with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.